Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Dallas Greenaway continues our new series, Lifelines, talking about how godly friendships help us grow. Dallas talks about how we all have blind spots and we all need people that we can trust to point these out in our lives. We look at Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, and how Jesus gently rebukes Martha as her priorities in life aren't right and helps her grow by pointing out this blind spot. Dallas challenges us to do the same with our friends. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning. We are, I mentioned it earlier, we're in week two of this series called Lifelines, right? If you have no idea what the series is about, I'll tell you right now. But first, let me introduce myself, because I know we have some of you who maybe haven't been here. Thank you for that little wave. You haven't been here in a long time, or maybe this is your first time. And just so you make sure you know somebody, all right? My name is Dallas. You can call me Dallas. You can call me Texas. You can call me Dally. You know what's so funny is that first service literally did the same thing. They were like, Dally, and I was like, yeah, I guess you can call me that too. You can call me Pastor Dallas or Greenaway or whatever you want to call me, okay? So, but nice to meet you guys, especially if you're new. We're really glad you're here. We are only in week two of this series, so you haven't missed too much. But every time, this time of year, we do a series that's on community and friendships and relationships, something around that subject, because we're launching small groups, right? And we know that for some of you guys and girls, you may find some of your closest friends through these small groups. You may find somebody like Jordan, it's so good to see you, bro. Guys, I lived in a house with Jordan when we were in college, so he's one of my good buddies. It was his birthday recently, too, so make sure you tell him happy birthday. It was my birthday as well, so just not on the same day, but back to back. You might meet somebody who becomes one of your housemates in college, like me and Jordan were. But your small groups, you might find a small group leader who becomes a mentor or just somebody that you look up to, somebody you feel like you can share some hard things with. We just know that small groups could end up being one of the most important things in your life, especially in your life during these few years of middle and high school, right? So it's a big deal. So we like to look at the scriptures and see, hey, what does the Bible say about our friendships? What does the Bible say about our relationships and community? And specifically in this series of Lifelines for this week and then two more for the rest of September, we're looking at Jesus and seeing how did Jesus interact with people? Like, what did his friendships maybe with his disciples look like? If you remember last week, we looked at an instance where he met the woman at the well and saw how he interacted with her. And we're seeing what does Jesus' interactions with people look like and how might we be able to apply some of that to our relationships and maybe even in your small group, right? So actually, if you remember last week from the woman at the well, we saw that one of the things about godly friendships or godly relationships is that they should be places where we can be real, right? Godly friendships should be places where we can be real and open about the hard stuff that's going on in life. Maybe it's something that you're scared to share with certain people, but with that friend or that group of friends, you feel safe and able to share it, and you know they're going to accept you. Remember my story of friends gathering around me in a tough time and letting me cry, like as a high schooler, right? High school dude and these other high school guys were around me and letting me be real and open. But maybe it's the tough stuff, but maybe it's also like the exciting things, right? Like, you know, the first person you call when something major happens, like something awesome, is this group of friends or that one person, right? So the thing is, like, we see this all throughout Scripture. Hopefully you left thinking about who those people were, but one thing that I hope comes across and I hope is stamped in your mind is just the simple fact that we were not meant to do life alone. And in our culture, remember we talked about this a little bit last week at the end, our culture, like, we're the most connected that we've ever been before with our phones, with social media, with all the ways that we have to get in contact with each other. We're the most connected, but we're also the most lonely. And we want you guys to have relationships like we're talking about in here on Sundays that we're seeing in the scriptures. We want you to have true godly friendships, godly relationships. And again, maybe that'll come in your small group. So if you want to turn, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. If you want to get there in your Bibles, flip there or scroll there. It's also going to be on the screen. But as you're going last week, you know, we were talking about a lot of good stuff. But one of the things that happened to me before service started, and I can't remember if it's before first or second service. It had to be before first service, actually. Is my son was up here, and he's 2 years old, and he was running around. He's super cute, like just straight blonde hair. It's just awesome. His hair is beautiful, and he's running around here, and I guess he ended up falling, like taking a tumble. And you know, that's pretty normal when you become a parent, or if you've spent time around kids, you'll find this out. But this was. I guess it hurt a little bit extra, and maybe he was embarrassed because all the big kids saw him, right? But he came up just like running and was crying. And it was, you know, sometimes it's just like a little bit of tears and sort of like fake crying, but like I need daddy. But this was snot nose crying, right? Like you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, please somebody wipe your nose. But I didn't realize that, okay? So I just picked him up, you know, as a good dad should, and I just hugged him. I was like, all right, buddy, it's going to be okay. And, you know, started to take him down to the nursery to hand him off to somebody else so they could take care of him. I'm just kidding. That's not why I did that. But it was time to go for the nursery. And so I calmed him down and got him into the nursery and came back up here. And probably like 10 or 15 minutes went by. And then my wife, but I honestly can't remember who it was. But somebody came up to me and said, hey, you might want to check like your shirt. And sure enough, there's like a huge booger. Just like right on my shirt, and it's a black shirt, okay? So we're talking like yellow snot and just giant booger. And I've been walking around with this thing on my shirt for like 10 or 15 minutes, right? It's disgusting. And you're like, how nasty could it be? He's two. It was like a grown man booger, okay? Like this was real, just a giant booger. And I was like, that is so nasty, right? Just like I flicked it on the floor and probably one of you picked it up or something and ate it. I don't know what you guys do. Some of you are weird with boogers, okay? Some of you are like, ew, and some of you are like, ooh, right? I mean, I know, you eat them still, okay? Maybe you'll learn something from this message. You need to tell somebody about that. You need help, okay? So big booger on my shirt, get it off. I went to the bathroom and cleaned up, right? And the point there is, like, I literally, like, I couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it. I had no idea it was there. It was, you can maybe call it a blind spot in my life in that moment, right? Like, I just couldn't see it. Maybe you haven't had a big old booger, all right? But maybe you've had a moment where, like, maybe this is TMI, but, like, your zipper was down, right? I think I've told you guys this before, but anytime you giggle out there and I haven't said something that's supposed to be funny, I get real nervous. Okay, I'm like, please stop looking. Or is there a booger on my shirt now? That's what I'm going to be thinking, okay? But maybe you've had that, or maybe you've had, like, toilet paper attached to your shoe. Has anybody actually ever had that happen? Like, you walk out of the bathroom, and you've got toilet paper or tissue. Wow. I'm sure that I have. I just can't remember it. I mean, it happens to the best of us. In fact, it happened to our president not too long ago. Maybe you've seen this video. Here he is getting out of the limo. Going up to Air Force One. Oh, yeah. Unexpected carry-on. He is totally oblivious. Yeah, America. See ya. I love, too, that the camera, like, zooms in on it, right? They weren't expecting to get that shot, but they did. And upon further review, like, if you kind of look at it a little more, I think it's probably a napkin, maybe not toilet paper. But we've all had something like that happen, right? Where something was up with our wardrobe or maybe our hair, whatever it is, and we just had no idea. We're walking around completely oblivious. It's a blind spot, right? And we need somebody else who's going to be, you know, maybe they're in front of us and they can see, or they're behind us, and whatever. Somebody around us who can point out that blind spot. And sometimes this happens with really funny things, right? We've all experienced it. But other times, these blind spots are not so funny, and they're a lot more serious, right? And maybe this is kind of lighthearted too, but maybe it's like the tone that you said something with, right? I know you've never had your parents tell you, hey, watch your tone, right? But you all have had that happen, or you will have it happen pretty soon, right? Like you said, when it came out of your mouth, you didn't realize what it sounded like. In your head, it sounded good, but when you actually said it and it came out of your mouth, your parents got really angry, and now you knew that was not good, right? Or maybe you've said a word, and you didn't realize what that word meant. In fact, like, it's a brand new word. It's not even in the dictionary, so like, what? Does it really mean that? But as soon as you said that thing, your friend was like, I don't think you understand, right? Like, I don't think you know what that word means. You know, I'll tell you when you're older what it means. Like, maybe you've said something like that, and you didn't know, you were blind to it, but you needed your friend there to help point it out, like, hey, you probably should not say that again, right? Or maybe it is something like, keep digging a little bit deeper, And there's some times when you like just get so angry and so frustrated and you don't realize that it's happening yet. Like you don't realize maybe what triggers you or whatever it might be, but there's people in your life who are like, hey, you're like, you need to calm down. Like you're getting really upset about this thing. Why is that? I mean, maybe you've had some really deep times where people have tried to confront you about things. And in fact, maybe these are such blind spots that you actually get even more angry when people point them out. Like maybe there's some things in your life that you're doing that when people confront you about it, like you just shut them down and you break the relationship off like it's over. Hey man, if you're gonna talk to me about that thing, then it's over. Maybe you're the bully that we often talk about here at church. Like we talk about bullying and how negative that is and what the Bible has to say about that. Maybe you're the bully, but people around you, like you can't see it, but you are. People around you are so scared to actually confront you about it because they're afraid that they'll be your next target. Or maybe it's gossip and you don't realize you do it, but it's just become such a way of life now. But you just keep talking about people behind their back over and over and over again and saying terrible things about people. It's just such habit. And others around you, like some of your girlfriends or your guys, like they're afraid that they're going to be the next target of gossip if they ever try to say anything like, hey, stop. Like they won't even do it anymore. We all have these blind spots in our lives. In fact, if I asked you the question, do you have any blind spots? Some of you would say yes. If you would say no, let me go and let you know, that's a red flag. You do have blind spots. None of us know absolutely everything that there is to know about ourselves and how the things we say come off, what's going on in our hearts. None of us know ourselves completely. We all need God to reveal things to us about ourselves. And a lot of times God chooses to use people to be a part of that process. We need people in our lives who are going to help point out the blind spots that God's going to use to say, hey, man, slow down. Or, hey, girl, like, I don't know if you actually know what that means, right? Or I don't know if you know what that's doing to our friendship or to your family. We all need people like that. So who are those people in your life? Who are those people that they can actually say something to you? And while you might get mad, you might get a little heat at first, once you calm down, you actually start to listen and say, hey, maybe they were right. And maybe some things need to change. Who is that in your life? Do you have anybody like that? Jesus tended to be that, whether people invited it or not. He tended to call people out and to reveal their blind spots. And one of the moments where he did it really gently is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And it's probably a passage that most of us are familiar with, but maybe you've never really thought about it like this. Let's just see how Jesus interacts with two of his friends, Mary and Martha, in this passage, right? Verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, right? So he's traveling with his crew, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. That's very nice of you, Martha. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? All right, so before we read the rest of that, let's just set the picture, all right? So Jesus is traveling. He's invited to his friend's house. We find out in later places in Scripture that they were indeed some of his good friends, Mary and Martha. Martha is the one that invites him, really nice. And then Mary, in this instance, Martha's sister, is the one who sits at Jesus' feet. And she spends time with him, maybe listening to him, just talking with him, having conversation. And Martha, meanwhile, it says that she is distracted. So we already know something's kind of up right here, right? Martha, she's busy. She's doing stuff. It seems like she's probably cleaning, tidying things up. Maybe she's, I don't know, even cooking or something. Like she's getting things around the house ready and nice for Jesus, even though he's already there, but she's just making sure that everything's set up. And in a lot of ways, like she's not necessarily doing anything wrong here. Like she's doing right, good things. I mean, I don't know about your house, but mine needs to be clean sometimes, right? Probably more than I do. And like things need to be tidy, things need to be ready, especially when you have guests over. But we're kind of clued in here, and maybe this is something that you can pick up when you're reading your Bible, right? But that, just that one word, distracted. kind of lets us know that something's a little off. And then on top of that, Martha goes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, what don't you see what's happening here? Like, I'm working, I'm doing all these things, and my sister Mary, I mean, basically she's like, she's lazy, right? All Mary's doing is sitting with you, just being with you. She's not even offering, as far as we know from this passage, to help. Jesus, won't you do something about it? And what does Jesus do? We'll read verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Here's another kind of Bible reading clue. Anytime something is repeated, whether it's a name like we have here, Martha, Martha, or a phrase, truly, truly, I say to you, or just, you know, a word, whatever it is, anytime something is repeated, when there's repetition, like something needs to go on, a light bulb needs to go on and say, wait, why is that repeated? It's repeated because it's important. And right here, why does he say Martha, Martha? Does that make you think of like Marsha, Marsha, right? If you've ever watched, is that Brady Bunch, right? Is that true? Martha, Martha, here's why he does it. This is Jesus rebuking her. This is Jesus gently calling out Martha. This is Jesus gently pointing a finger at one of her blind spots. See, Martha, she's distracted, maybe with right things. Again, like she's cleaning. It's not wrong to clean, right? But she's missing what really all of life is about in this moment. Jesus is right there in their midst. He's not going to be there forever. And Mary has chosen to sit at his feet and be with him. Meanwhile, Martha's missing every, like, all these moments to be with Jesus. Instead, she's just trying to do things. And yes, do things for Jesus, but let me maybe kind of give you just like a phrase that maybe you can just have for the rest of your life, right? But all of life, here's what all of life is about. All of life is about relationship. Yeah, we've got to do tasks. Like, we've got to get things done. Things need to take place for the world to keep moving like it is, right? But all of life is about relationship. It's about relationships with other people. Like, those are the only things that are going to last. And it's especially about the most important relationship in our lives is about our relationship with God. And here Jesus is, just like he was doing last week with the woman at the well, he's pointing Martha to what is the most important thing. The most important thing is to be with Jesus. Both for Martha and Mary in this moment and for us. So he's shown her, hey, you may not be able to see this, but all these things, you're distracted. All these things in your life that you think, like, this is the most important thing right now, it's not the most important thing, you're missing it. The most important thing, Martha, is for you to just be with me. Mary, at least in this moment, she gets it. Martha, won't you come and start to understand a little bit more of that as well? So Jesus gently, I mean, really, he could have been like, hey, put away the Clorox, right? Like, put away the cloths, maybe just like, just hit her with one, right? But he doesn't do any of that. He comes to her, Martha, Martha, and gently, like, helps her see, hey, all these things that you're doing are just distractions from what's most important. Jesus reminds her that he's the most important, right? And so maybe you're a little bit like Martha right now. Like, maybe this passage actually does need to speak directly to you. Maybe there's all these things going on in your life and school started back and, you know, there's things going on with your friendship or with your family, or there's just all this stuff that's happening right now, and maybe you have become distracted. You're trying to take care of it all. You're trying to do your best with it all, but you've forgotten somewhere in there, you've forgotten the most important thing. You've forgotten God. You've forgotten just to be with him, to rest with him. Maybe even as I say that, you're like, yeah, but you don't know all the things I got on my plate. I can't stop. I can't pause. I think that's exactly what God's saying to you. Martha, put down all the cleaning products and come just be with me. That's the most important thing. So maybe you're Martha. Maybe this passage needs to directly speak to you, right? But sometimes God uses a scripture, but a lot of times he uses people. And so maybe you're Martha, and you're not necessarily like distracted or anything, but you do have some other blind spots in your life. Whether it's with how you use your words, or it's with how you spend your free time that nobody knows about. Maybe it's something that's going on in your family. Like you've got some blind spots, and you need somebody like Jesus to gently come around you and say, hey, I don't think you realize what this is doing to you. I don't think that you realize what this is doing to the people around you. It's a blind spot. You need people like that. Maybe we can take a page out of Jesus' book, and some of us actually need to be the ones who point out blind spots in other people. Maybe there's friends that you know there is something wrong in their life, and it's bigger than your friend realizes. It's a huge blind spot, and you're like, I don't know how they don't see it, right? But maybe God's calling you to move forward like Jesus and gently call that person out. Hey, I don't know if you see this, but as your friend, I feel like I have to tell you about it. I feel like I have to confront you. And then it's on them, like whether they choose to accept it or not, right? But we all need people like that in our lives who will point out those blind spots. And I think we oftentimes need to be those people as well, probably more times than we're willing to admit or willing to step into, right? I was thinking about this whole thing. I mean, that takes a lot of trust to call out blind spots, to be willing to hear somebody confronting you about your own blind spot. That takes a lot of trust. That's built up over time with your friendships. But it kind of made me think when I was brushing my teeth this morning, there's people that we actually trust with blind spots, if you will, more than we trust some of our closest friends. And here's what I mean. Brushing my teeth, and I'm thinking, you know, last time I was at my dentist, they pointed some things out to me about my teeth. Apparently, I don't know if I grind my teeth or if I chew too much ice or whatever. My teeth are like withering away, okay? It's not at an alarming pace, but probably in like a year, I won't have any teeth, all right? So, and I'll have dentures. It'll be kind of funny because I'll be able to like take them out and do this and it'll be funny. But I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. But here's my point. The dentist can see things in my mouth that I can't see, I can't feel, I don't realize are there. And then they could tell me, hey, here's what you need to do about it. That they point out blind spots. And a lot of times, I know, as much as you guys hate the dentist, which I don't know why, guys, go to Pelham Links. It's like a hotel, okay? It's like a really nice hotel dentistry, and I love it. There's cookies and TVs, and it's great. But they point things out, and then I listen to them. I'm willing to trust my dentist sometimes with them pointing out blind spots in my mouth more than I am willing to trust some of my friends when they point out blind spots in my life. We do this with the dentist. We do this with the doctor, right? You go to the doctor. You know, like, something's not right, but you're not quite sure. Or maybe you just have no idea. And then the doctor gets there and is like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. This is what you need to do. And, hey, you need to go get surgery. And you're like, what? I had no idea, right? But yet you move forward with it. You trust them, even though you may not know them that well. Guys, sometimes we trust people who we have no relationship with to point out blind spots in our lives more than we trust the people who we've known for like our entire lives, since the womb, to point out maybe even more real and more destructive blind spots than the ones going on in our mouths or with your kneecaps, right? Who are those people around you that can point out blind spots in your life? And maybe, is there somebody that God's calling you to be the one to point out a blind spot in their life? Maybe, I mean, we all need people who are willing to point out the boogers on our shirts, right? And every now and then, we got to tell President Trump, hey, you've got a napkin on your foot. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for just your son and the example that he set for us for life, including friendships, relationships, and community. Help us to be willing to trust others with our lives. Be willing to trust others as they come to us and point out blind spots, God, and then maybe give us the extra courage and boldness needed to be the ones, just like Jesus did with Martha, to gently call others out. Say, hey, I don't know if you see this, but from my vantage point, I see it, and I think we need to do something about it. Help us to live as real friends in real community. Maybe let that happen in our small groups. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.